Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like hello?
Roethlisberger shotgun, quick slant to the right side, and it's caught on the run. Martavis Bryant, 15-10, near side, 5, touchdown Steelers. Martavis Bryant, right to left, with a 27-yard touchdown, and the Steelers strike first. Third, very short from the Vikings, 4, Ben shotgun, takes the snap, float, it's a shovel, up the middle to the rookie from USC, touchdown Pittsburgh, it's Juju Smith-Schuster with his first National Football League touchdown. It's a shovel run of 3, and Pittsburgh leads 13-0.
But I will go down with this shit.
No!
And I won't put my hands up and surrender.
You've got to be kidding me!
There will be no white flag above my door.
Sorry, K-Fair.
I'm in always will be.
46-yard drive, left hash by Boswell, and of course off the penalty he makes this one. Fourth down, Steelers rush 5, Keenum stays in the pocket for now, floats out to the left, 4th and 7, zips it over the middle, caught by Thielen, reached out for the first down and dropped the ball, and the Steelers have taken it away. Final score from Hines, Pittsburgh 26, Minnesota 9. This is Minnesota Vikings football.
All this negativity that's in this town sucks.
I'm pulling my ticket!
I won't put my hands up and surrender.
I can't take this anymore.
There will be no white flag above my door.
We'll be back tomorrow. I can promise you that.
Offensively, we didn't get much done in the first part of the ball game, and then we made some mistakes defensively. We jumped off sides on fourth down. We had some penalties that hurt us, and it's tough to win when you do things like that.
Enjoy the season.
You guys are going to criticize whatever you want to criticize. Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. Now, that's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
I'm sick of it, man. I really am. I'm fed up with all the crap that I hear. I think it's bandwagon. I really do, man. These guys lay it on the line. These guys are in the training room, man. Guys lay it on the line, man. They lay it on the line. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
I don't want anybody to start, pointing fingers or start to, jumping off the ship, so to speak. Because if you're going to jump off, then stay off. Because we don't need no fake people on our bandwagon anyway.
Get back. Here it is. The season's on the line. Two receivers left and right. McCown takes the snap. He steps up. He's all by himself. Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
Brutal. B-R-U-T-A-L. No way.
surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be.
The emotional roller coaster that only a Monday montage can generate, especially when it's done to the tune of White Flag by Fido.
No!
And I don't know if you've ever seen Fido. She's not a dog. A very attractive young lady. And that was an emotional roller coaster for me, Tenneby. As emotional as it gets. I'm already spent, and we're only 5:35 into the show. When does the show actually begin? Do we know? Do we have any indication? It didn't really start at noon. I'm number one. It first says, why would anybody aspire to be the... What time does that generate?
I mean, it depends on how long the previous commercial break is. But I'd say roughly on average... 11:59:45 or 11:59:30.
Okay. So, right about noon.
Yeah.
And it's... listening to the purveyor of positivity, Barney the Purple Dinosaur, the highs and the lows in his voice, the best of times, the worst of times, hang on to your hat. Really is what it is when you're listening to the purveyor positivity, and it's draining. It really is. That's why I'm glad Zim's at 2. I don't think I can get through the 2 o'clock hour without him.
Well, and how many times have we heard the white song, the
white flag
song
by Fido?
Hundreds
of times.
It still generates the same emotion now as it did the first time.
It elicits goosebumps. You hear me say it? I get goosebumps when I hear it. And the Vikings, those were not goosebumps. Those were welts. They got beat around pretty bad. I don't even know what I mean. Other than, you know what I learned about football that I didn't know before?
What's
Remember
that?
When I was told that an offensive line has to play years together before they can gel?
Yeah.
And then we went out last week with an offensive line that hadn't played one snap together and looked like one of the top offensive lines ever created. One of those where, you know, what was that line? Was it the Seven Horsemen? There's a famous offensive line for Notre Dame. Google it for me, because that's what we look like 2 weeks ago. I've also been told that the hardest position in football is quarterback, but that's not what I read in the Fish Wrap Factory West Side yesterday. So all these years I've been told it's quarterback. You know what the hardest position to play, according to Tony Dungy and others? Cornerback. Not maybe I just misunderstood. Maybe they were saying cornerback, and not that they were saying quarterback, because apparently cornerback is the hardest position to play in football. That's what I've been told. So years, all these experts were telling me it was quarterback. So I believed it. What did we always say? Toughest position. So I just started going with it because it makes you sound smart then, too. You know, when you're sitting with your buddies in the man grotto and your belly up to the bar and you're talking sports. Is your whole life just sports? And you want to sound smart. And you go, you know. And then everybody leans in when you go, you know, quarterback's the toughest position in football. In all the sports. And people go, whoa. Well, you know your sports, don't you? Well, now I'm told it's cornerback. That's what Tony Dungy and several defensive backs said. Because it defies what a human being should do. You're doing everything a wide receiver does, except you're running backwards instead.
Yeah.
Right? So you're backpedaling instead of going forward. They said it's the... And then with the way the rules are nowadays, it's...
You can't touch them.
You can't touch them.
No.
So they're telling me that's the toughest position in pro football. And it must have been
physically. I definitely think he easily make that argument.
And it certainly looked that way for our defensive backs yesterday. It looked very difficult for them. You knew
Trey Waynes confirms the statement.
Trey Waynes was he pulled because of the one penalty? Is that the reason? Because he never played again, right? Or was there something else?
Well,
it was an awful penalty. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
yeah.
it gave up what, like 42 yards and put them in a position to score what, their second touchdown?
Yep.
And the game didn't you. After 14-0
ball game.
You just felt that way, right?
With Case Keenum as your quarterback and the way our offense is.
Well, I don't even think with Sam Bradford in there would have been much better. Because again,
I'm with you.
Keenum wasn't that offensive as good as the offensive, and that was our fear. Remember, we said, well, you know, I was excited and giddy, and then I had, I think maybe even you and other people say, well, no, wait a minute now. The Saints aren't that great defensively, so let's not get too excited. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, you're right, but we don't put together the Saints' offensive line. We don't put the roster together.
Their defensive line, yeah.
Or defensive line, you know, that's not our fault. But, boy, I tell you, yesterday was a whole heap and help, a whole heap and helping of trouble. And it started, you know, the when Robinson jumped offsides.
Yes.
It's like, how do you, you know they're not going to run the play. There was no way they were going to run a play.
Bursich called it ahead of time on the radio broadcast.
What did he say?
He said, watch out for the, what do they call it?
The heart snap.
The heart snap.
Yeah.
He said it about 5 seconds before Robinson fell for it.
Well, and how does he fall for that? Because you know they're not going to run a play there. There's no way at
their
stage
own 30.
In their game, at their own 30, they're not. The game has just started. Nobody's going to do that. I might as a head coach, because you know me. I love the idea that, what's the Steelers head coach name?
Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin. I like the way he goes for two all the time.
Yeah.
Except when Richard Noggin. Get it? Richard Noggin. Yoga pants, breast. When the guy that got the touchdown with his new celebration with rolling dice.
Yeah.
They took so long for their celebration. Did you see Tomlin? Did you read his lips? What was that said? They wanted to go for two.
Yeah.
But this silly, goofy celebration of pretending you're throwing dice and playing craps. It took too long,
and they got
a delay of game. The guy was more concerned about his celebration than he was scoring a touchdown. Think about it. He was more concerned about the I'm telling you, and it's not just football bleeds over into basketball. We saw it baseball. They're more excited about throwing sunflower seeds and bubble gum on a guy crossing home plate than they really are than winning the game. It amazes me. So, again, it ended up it didn't cost Pittsburgh anything. I'm sure the guy got an earful from Tomlin sometime either during the game at halftime or after.
Or today he will.
Or today.
Yeah.
He's going to hear about it. But how you jump off sides, and again, Robinson knew at some point he had his own head going. He knew it. And then, of course, now, again, was that the deciding factor in the game? But no, but yet him stop for a series.
0-0.
First, stop them the first series for them, but instead gives them the fresh four, as we like to say, and they scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And they got another one, and then at that point, you could see it was basically over. Now, all the hopes and the dreams and the good cheer and the goodwill that was built up in week one, gone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's not the end of the end of the end of the end,
no.
I don't think, but that's, and now... the coach is Owley. We'll hear from him, I think, at 2 o'clock. Will he be there, or do you think he'll call it off? I don't know, because he was none too happy yesterday. And to go, Sam will be fine. He might be out 1 week. He might be out six. What did he mean by, is he bitter?
He just doesn't like to talk about injuries, which I understand. Well, I don't completely understand. Because this one, that doesn't make sense. I understand if you have, let's say Colin Kaepernick was your backup quarterback, right? And if you want to play the game of, we don't know if Bradford is going to start or if Kaepernick's going to start. That makes a little sense because they now have to prepare for Bradford and Kaepernick, who are two completely different quarterbacks.
Right.
There's no way Tampa Bay is they're going to put all their preparation into Sam Bradford. And guess what? If Bradford can't go, it's not like they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Case Keenum, what are we going to do now? How do we prepare for Case Keenum?
You saw the quotes from a couple of players, didn't you? Did you see what they said for Pittsburgh? They didn't know it was Keenum until after the game started. That's how little they paid attention.
It was in the paper today.
I'll find the quote for
you.
So that's how little that does mean with, we're going to play the game of subterfuge in the smokescreen. And I don't even know if Zimmer meant it by that. I think he's, I read into it, and not for certain, but I almost read into it like, I think he's disappointed that Bradford didn't play.
Really?
Well, it might be 1 week, it might be six, who knows with these guys.
Above average at that.
Or was
he's better? He wasn't gutty.
Or was he not? I mean, I'm saying that That's the feel I got.
That's possible.
I'm not saying it was, because I'm not going to make that accusation, even though I kind of made the accusation. I don't know. That's just the feel I got when I heard it. It was almost like, he might be back in a week. He might be six. I don't know with these guys anymore. Because remember how annoyed he was with, who's our other guy with the nerve damage?
Yeah, Sharif Floyd.
Isn't he kind of annoyed with Floyd, too? Yeah. He was very annoyed.
After week two last year, he was.
He was very annoyed.
And he's still out.
And I don't know if he's annoyed with Bradford or not, and I don't know how serious it was for Bradford. I don't know Bradford well enough to know if he's a gamer or not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know
he beat up pretty good last year.
I know he's gotten injuries. I know he's injury prone. He's had trouble with the knee. But is he a guy that like, oh, I got an owie? I mean, I don't think he's that kind of a guy. You know, remember Cutler kind of got that rap after that NFC Championship game. Oh, he's just kind of a. You know, he's not tough. He's not, you know, how does he not play in the second half of that game? Sometimes, you know, guys lay it on the line. But I don't know.
Is it possible Zimmer looks at it as you have no ligament damage? It's really just battling soreness and pain. Get out there.
That's, I don't know.
And then Bradford does the old, I've torn this ACL twice. I'm not going to risk it. Yeah. I'm not going through that again.
Yeah. I don't know.
There might be a battle going on.
And so I don't know what that's all about. It just seemed odd. 1 week, 6 weeks, I don't know. Because if it's just soreness, you wouldn't think it'd be 6 weeks. Maybe it was, again, the coach is frustrated. I know he's got to be annoyed. I mean, those penalties were...
Yeah.
I'm usually a guy that feels a good team can overcome penalties, but some of those penalties were so bad, too.
40-50-yard pass interferences. Those are tough to overcome.
And then the one by Robinson, and we love Robbie here. We do. He's
B-Rob.
B-Rob. We love him. But that's just so bad.
Yeah.
That's just... You can't jump off sides there. Now... I'm sure everybody else was thinking what I was thinking. Okay, if they still stop them and may force them to punt, it's okay. It's the old, well, we dodged one there. But they didn't.
How about the penalty on the field goal, too?
The penalty. That was another, right? Yeah. How bad is that? You give them another chance at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are awful penalties. But so the schedule today is the same as it was the last couple of years, because Zim likes doing his news conference at 2 o'clock. So we move Rosen up to 1. But we've got plenty of football talk. Plus, there's other stuff. There's other stuff to get to on the Common Man program here on The Fan.
Brought to you by Prism Research.
Say this with the utmost confidence. There is no more polarizing or controversial talk show in the country than the Common Man program. Here's an example, Tinnaby, of what I received at booth@kfan.com via our Brad Sean Bryant inbox. Subject line, montage loving. That was hands down the best montage of all time. Continue reshaping the way we think about talk radio. You are pioneers in a sea of jaded e-cynics. Signed, Mrs. Calabash Guy, formerly Delman Young Guy. Okay? Formerly Delman Young Guy, who's now Mrs. Calabash Guy, wherever you are. Ah, cha-cha-cha-cha. He thinks we are pioneers in a sea of jaded e-cynics. Hands down, the best montage of all time.
I always love that one.
This email says, too early for a song? Common, I called it. Last week you said it was too early to play Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship because it was only one game. I knew you and Tanner were going to start this week with White Flag, even though it's their first loss. It's the samey boy, way too early. Take care, super duper pooper scooper guy. Super duper pooper scooper guy. They could have used the super duper pooper scooper guy on the Viking sideline yesterday because that was a pile of you know what. You could make that argument, but I think not using Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now last week because of yesterday's result, it proves we were correct. Right? Now, if the Vikings rebound and beat Tampa Bay, then you can say it was too early for Dido White Flag.
Yeah.
But it's the esoteric approach to sports. I'm telegraph, if you follow the Grum, that I leave clues, little telltale signs of how I feel, and it's obvious I feel things are I'm not giving up. That's why it's white flag. But I do think it's almost to the point of desperation. Lower the lifeboats. Send out get the flare gun out. Send out a signal flare, because I did not like what I see. And when you have a quarterback who has a bad knee and the coach is beside himself and say it could be anywhere from 1 to 6 weeks, and the way that offensive line performed, I'm sorry. Plus, I just love the song White Flag by Dido.
That's mostly why we played it.
Because I thought yesterday I was going to recommend, I did, I said, Ooh Child, .. White Flag, .. And your response was, I was thinking White Flag.
Yeah.
And I said, I like it, was my response. I like it, ..
Yeah.
So a lot of it has to do with...
I just like that song better than New Child.
It's a terrific song.
Yeah.
It is, and it goes to show you that we're not done with this club yet. We're not bandwagon.
No.
It really is. But, there were so many... was there anything you could take from that game where you would go, well, that was a positive? Rudolph's one-handed grab.
That was nice.
That's one catch.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that. That's what we're going to see all the time. I guess I liked Cook's second half. He was more effective. I don't know, though. Is that part and parcel? Is part of that because the game was kind of out of reach, that Pittsburgh wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
You play different defensively based on the score of the game.
Yeah, you play different defensively. And that's not to take any away from Chef Cook. I think he's going to be a fine player. But they bottled him up in the first, what did he have in the first half, 3 yards? Is that what it was? I mean, it wasn't much in the first half. There wasn't anything in the first half the Vikings did. So I don't look at any, Forbath missed another extra point.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing, the mistakes offensively and defensively with penalties and just this, there's nothing from that game where I go, well, we can hang our hat on that. That's a good sign going forward. Or did you find something?
Well, if you want to do a Justin Kazemius talks about the Gophers' performance against Northwestern quarterback Mike Kafka, and if you take away those 4 runs,
right,
they played really well against Northwestern. I would say the same. Yeah, I thought our defense played decent, but it's just kind of like the 2 massive penalties. Well, actually 3, because you mentioned the Brian Robinson one, right? The Brian Robinson offsides and the 2 pass interferences, and the 1 pass interference against Xavier on Antonio Brown. I'm wondering if, you know, Xavier was playing with a bum hip.
Right.
And I'm wondering, because normally he would not just grab Antonio Brown's jersey there. He's a better cornerback than that. And you wonder if he had a little hitch in his giddy up and didn't think he'd be able to keep up with Brown, so I'm going to just tug on him a little bit there. And overall, I thought he did pretty well against Brown.
Brown didn't have those astonishing numbers
they're big guns. Brown did not have huge numbers. No. Le'Veon Bell, I thought, was contained for the most part. Right. So just, I mean, really, most of their... Most of the yardage they got, it seemed like it was on penalties.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Rhodes, because as long as we're talking injuries, with the quarterback, I'm sure Case Keenum's a nice guy. I think the things I saw that were rat wrote about Keenum, I'm not saying they weren't accurate, but I thought people were even harder on him than I would be. I mean, they basically, people have said he's got, the way I, in talking to people and reading things, most people feel he's got zero talent. I mean, I wouldn't put him. They made it. I'm not saying that shouldn't take his fair share of blame for the Vikings' offensive performance yesterday, but
it was bad all around.
I thought it was bad all around, so I'm not really to go, well, it's all Keenum's fault. I don't think it was all Case Keenum's fault, folks. I mean, I'm not, again, do I think he's a long-term solution at quarterback? No. There's a reason he has a losing record as a starting quarterback, but I don't think he was.
I don't think we win the game at Bradford.
No, I don't think we do either. And
now, I don't think we're as inept offensively as we were. I think he can make some throws that Keenum can.
Absolutely.
But he, Bradford's performance would have been much different behind what he saw offensive line wise yesterday than what he did against New Orleans. It's night and day how much.
You are exactly right. And so the injury thing, if Bradford's out for an extended period of time, that's not good.
No.
And then Rhodes. If you're already at, because didn't he have the hip last, what's this hip thing from? Was this from training camp or is this from even last year?
Know. It's kind of an important muscle for a cornerback.
Well, yeah, and it's like if he's already having trouble with it, is it magically going to fix itself here? I mean, you know, they got to practice this week and play another game next week. And without him, because he's
too valuable back there.
He's really good at what he does. So yeah. Are we seeing a three-quarter Xavier Rhodes then because of the giddy up in his hip? I don't know, but it's.
And he has a very tough test this week. I mean, you have another top three-ish, top five wide receiver in the league in Mike Evans.
Yeah. So I'm.
Which would be his responsibility.
I'm certainly not very. It's hard to be really optimistic. Again, it is only 1-1. At least we avoided the. Because, Tenneby, if you start 0-2, you know what that means. What is it? 8% of the teams?
12%, I thought I saw.
12% of the teams.
I've seen it multiple times on Twitter already.
Did somebody do that story?
Oh, Adam Schefter did it. Oh, yeah, people tweeted at me now.
Is Schefter just. Is he the guy that will delay his tweets to come out at like 3:30 so people think he's working around the clock? Is that the guy, or who was it last year?
That was him.
That's Schefter.
Yeah.
And does he really think that people look at, boy, he's really, boy, he's right on top of things with that 0-2 thing?
You know what time his tweet was this morning?
What time?
3 a.m.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m., Adam Schefter tweeted, since NFL went to 12 playoff teams in 1990, only 12% of teams that start season 0-2 went on to make the playoffs.
He should be ashamed of himself. Somebody needs. Can we get people to? Can you do the tweets where you tweet back at him? How do you do that? Do you hashtag Adam?
You can
Schefter?
Reply to him.
Just reply to him and say, seriously.
Go bad.
We're on to your. We know you didn't. You weren't up at 3. You're trying to impress people. Oh, Adam Schefter never sleeps.
I saw him on SportsCenter this morning.
Nobody works harder than Adam Schefter. He's doggedly pursuing every angle of every story. And nobody's buying. We all know about the 0-2 thing. You're not revealing anything, anybody. You're making a fool of yourself. You're embarrassing yourself. And stop it already. We'll break. We'll come back with this, that, lat on the Fan.
Look for the Samuel Adams text code in any participating Cub liquor stores in the metro, and you can win a trip or two to Las Vegas for a November weekend. Standard message and data rates apply. A confirmation text will be sent. No purchase necessary. Ends October 2nd, 2017.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
More Inside Radio 101. Ooh Child is a nice montage song, but A, it's a shorter song.
Yes.
And so there's not as much to let breathe.
Yes.
And to really fill it with sound bites and highlights and lowlights. So it's a very good song to play during the first hour coming off of you Dido White Flag it to start, then you come back with, is it Crenshaw?
Yeah, Someday, Someway.
Someday, Someway. And then you get into a little Ooh Child. So you can still sprinkle in Ooh Child, but not do it during a montage. The only way I think you can pull this off is if you do it like you've done with Only the Beginning, where you've shortened Only the Beginning. You'd have to lengthen this somehow, where you would do a splice and add.
I did lengthen Dido.
Oh, you did?
Dido is not as. I added.
Oh, really? Another, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done.
Oh, yeah, that's why the chorus at the end just keeps going and going and going.
Oh. Well done,
the
young
actual
man.
Song is probably like two choruses and then it's done.
Well, welcome back to the spotlight, young man. See, you bamboozled me. So
I could do that with Ooh Child, I guess.
Could you try sometime just to see? Well done, young man. I had no idea. Mike Zimmer at 2, Mark Rosen at 1. We'll dispense with 5-3-4 today. Before the program is over, we're going to give away a free brewery. Not now. Don't call now. Call later when we ask you to. A free brewery pass to 11 of the Twin Cities' best breweries. You join the exclusive Twin Cities Beer Club and get 2 free pints at 11 breweries. Brought to you by Edina Liquor. Get yours now at Twin Cities Beer Club.
How about a beer?
I like that. .com. Let me ask you something. 2 free pints. I mean, that's just wetting that. Did I tell you I quit drinking? Back in my drinking days, that was just wetting my whistle.
That's the appetizer?
Yeah, that's just getting started. That's nothing. A couple of emails that have come in, Tenneby, that I find interesting. Tell me what you think of this. If Bradford already had a contract extension, maybe he'd be a bit more gutty. considering he's playing for his big payday, I wouldn't want to risk a serious injury either. And let me, again, preface this whole thing by, I'm just throwing out speculation, things I've heard people talk about, things I'm reading about. Bradford doesn't play after he's fine week one, only hit once, didn't look like there was anything there to aggravate the knee.
No.
Then suddenly week two, it's no, he's got swelling in his knees out. And the coach had said on Friday, I think he may have even said so on Saturday, sometime during last week, he said, well, I anticipate he'll play. Was it expect or anticipate?
Anticipate.
I anticipate he'll play. Well, then he doesn't. And then he was very, again, annoyed by the line of questioning yesterday and threw out the mysterious, he's fine. He might play in 1 week. He might play in 6 weeks. I don't know what that's all about. Bradford tested the knee. I saw the video. They showed it on the telecast yesterday. He went out early, a couple, 3 hours before the game, tested it, threw a little bit, couldn't really plant, and he's out. He does not have a contract extension. And I guarantee you, if he tears up that knee, he ain't getting one either.
No.
Nobody's going to give him one. So could there be something? I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying.
But him not playing also justifies the Vikings' decision not to give him a contract extension at this moment.
That's true.
And do the old, well, let's play it out a year. Let's see if you can stay healthy again for a second consecutive
year. Absolutely.
And see if you're willing to play through some of those things.
And being the only major market radio talk show host in the country who can admit when they're wrong, I'll admit. You and I had the discussion. You would not have given him an extension. I would have. And there's still no right and wrong yet, but it's sure looking like that it was better that they did not give him an extension. Because even if he had one, I don't know if he does play. I mean, could that be a reason he didn't play? Could he be? Could his agent have said, look, if your knee's even, if it's even iffy, don't go out there. Do not play. But if he had a guaranteed, what would the contract extension give him in a guarantee? Was that another 40, 50 million or something?
Sure.
Or 20? So then he go, you know what? I guess I can try it. And if it doesn't work and my career is over, I don't want it to be, but I don't have to worry about it. So not that he has to worry about money to begin with. He's already got a nice chunk of change set aside, but I don't know. Here's another one now that came into the Brad John Bryan inbox. It says, a common short week, East Coast almost, we had no chance. Big Ben carrying and waving a Rooney flag. Tomlin, 9-1 in home starts. Did anyone really expect us to win? I think the defense and its huge penalties broke any momentum and really cost us the game. Probably a good week for Sammy to take a knee. Well, I don't think Sammy, it's not a bad week to take a knee, but I don't think the start had anything to do with him not playing. Because there's no way he could have known how the team was going to start. You're right. It's probably better he didn't play, but we don't know if he does play. We don't know how much that changes the complexion of the game. Again, I think you and I both have already stated, I don't think there's a different outcome if Bradford plays. Is it possible? I mean, there is the idea that maybe Bradford's recognition of blitzes and defenses is better than Keenum. He's probably a smarter quarterback than Keenum, and not Keenum. I don't know that.
He's more accurate. Keenum missing passes.
Yeah, and so does that mean that when Bradford gets to the line, he sees things that Keenum different and might do the old check down Charlie thing, and maybe the game's different? I suppose it could be. But
well, in the National Football League, too, one play can change everything.
Absolutely.
It can change momentum. I mean, we saw it in the Green Bay-Atlanta game last night. It was 10 points. End of the second half, Green Bay gets like a 40-yard gain with Randall Cobb, gets called back on a penalty. Then later on,
interception
that was a fumble. I'm talking about the Rodgers, where he was hit as he was throwing the ball, and they determined it was a backward pass.
Oh, you're talking about that one, yes, yeah. Which I missed. When was that?
That was right at the end of the first half.
Oh,
so all of a sudden it went from a Green Bay had a chance on the Cobb play of being in Atlanta's territory with a chance to get it to 7 or even 3 before the half, but the fumble going the other way, which I'm not even sure they got that call right, it was very borderline, all of a sudden you're down 17 at the half. I mean, that completely changes the complexion of the game.
I guess I did see that. Which play am I thinking of where it was the diving interception by what's-his-face? There was a diving interception on a... I thought that was the play to end the half. I must be very confused. Atlanta made a diving interception after a penalty.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. There was another penalty, I believe. Regardless, I get your point. One play can change the whole thing.
I might be getting it confused, too.
You might be. One of us is getting it confused. But and, he's, I mean, again, Big Ben carrying the flag and Tomlin 9-1. none of that matters. So Big Ben and everybody's excited that they're playing for Dan Rooney. There have been a lot of teams that have played a game for somebody and dedicated somebody, and they still lose anyways. Yeah. I'm not willing to go and say the Pittsburgh game, there was no chance we could win that
game. Remember week one when Rosie said that Houston was going to play for the Hurricane?
Absolutely.
People, right?
How did that work?
So it's just kind of a made-up storyline.
I absolutely think it's that way, too. And here's a here's an email. This is something to gnaw on, Tenneby. It says, subject line, Zimmer's relationship with the press. It says, I guess I consider myself a Mike Zimmer fan, but his attitude toward the press is getting old. I believe that the press helps represent the fans, and that fans have some entitlement to information that represents the performance of the team. Zimmer's rhetoric is demotivating to fan interest, in my opinion. Why is it so difficult for a coach to maintain an affable relationship with the press? See Flip Saunders. Kevin McHale used to be one of my favorite interviews, but under the heat, he became more and more distant and surly with the press. I hope I'm wrong, but something's misfiring here, and I hope it does not infect his relationship with the team and fellow coaches as well. Just my thoughts. There is something to be said about coaches, players, general managers, owners that have a good working relationship with the press. Because I do think the press is a conduit. The fans, they are the ones that are watching the games and buying the tickets and the merchandise. And the hardcore ones, they want to know everything they can. And they want to be in on the know. And they do want to know what's wrong with the guy's knee. And so when the coach says, I'm tired of answering the questions, well, that's your job. Answer the questions, you know? And to give answers like it might be one or maybe that is the only answer he has, is 1 or 6 weeks. I don't know, but it does leave people scratching their heads. Denny had an awful relationship with the press at the very end.
Yes.
In his last few years. He was very antagonistic. And then media members, in some cases, even turned on him. But that was started by Green, and we're not going to, others have tried to rewrite history on that, but there's no reason to get into that now because Denny's gone, and I liked him. But other coaches, too, have had, Tice had a great relationship. Now, there were times he got annoyed, but you could still poke fun at him and have fun. It was good. And there are a lot of, he's right about McHale. McHale was like that. McHale, toward the end, was not happy. When things got bad and the heat got on a little bit, McHale was not.
Tice almost went too far the other way, where he was too revealing of what was going on behind the scenes.
There is a fine
line.
And
too honest.
We got more emails coming in. We've got the Zimmer News Conference at 2, but coming up next, it's Mark Rosen here on the Common Man Program on the Fan.
Second and goal from the 6. Matthews got it. Back, looks, steps up, looks, now rolls to his left. Sets, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Marvin Jones. Oh, man, welcome back, boys. Lined up just off the line of scrimmage to the left side is Ebron. Second and goal from the 7 for the Lions. Stafford leans in, working out of the gun. Matthews got it back. Looks. Sets, throws, caught inside the 5. Riddick at the 2. Riddick to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, Theo just doing what he does. Stafford changing the play. Working out of the gun with Amir to his right. Matthews got it. Back, looks, set, close, let's not get a man out there, it is caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Golladay, and rookie, welcome to the D, the Lions on top for the first time today. Matthews got it, fakes to get to Amir, sets deep in the pocket, wants to throw, does deep downfield, wants Golladay, inside the 10, dives, did he make the catch? Oh, he did! Oh, rookie, you are something special, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Hey, rookie, welcome to the game.
She comes out of
stand up, Ford Field. Stand up. How about the cardiac cats?
Don't bother asking for an explanation. She'll just tell you that she came. In the air of the cat.
What do you think of Lions now? More than any story.
What do you think of Lions now? A win tonight at the Meadowlands.
Uh-huh.
We'll be having an NFC North roundtable discussion tomorrow but there'll be no round table. I'll just be staring into a mirror talking about the roar being restored.
I always love that one.
How sweet will that be?
How sweet will that be? And we're winning tonight. You know that.
I don't know that. If I knew that,
it's a new era.
I would be in Vegas right now.
The Giants are yesterday's news. That's a different era.
Well, probably
that
minus Odell Beckham
again.
That
team is in rebuilding mode.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't get too carried away.
It's a new
away.
Era.
Well,
the roar.
And then what are you going to say if they're down 17-0? Same old Lions, same old kiddies.
They're not going to be down 17-0. The year of the cat.
When the Timberwolves start practicing.
It's the year of the cat.
The Carolina Panthers might be, yeah. Well, look, at right now, honestly, if you look at the conferences, Atlanta is clearly, I mean, it's 2 weeks, but clearly the best team in the NFC again.
Well, they have not played Detroit.
No, they haven't. I'm saying the Lions are in the conversation, but we'll see what happens after tonight.
Oh, we'll see.
Well, but
you know,
I'm saying,
you know, Atlanta just barely escaped. I mean, they got lucky at the end of the game against Chicago.
Oh, I know they did. I understand
that.
That's why
yet.
I took the Bears and the points yesterday. That didn't work out real well.
That's not, well, yeah, to say they're clearly the best team.
Well, okay, name another
team. Green Bay's
team
overrated.
Name another team that's impressed you at all the first, collectively, and again, the Lions haven't played tonight. Who's the second best team in the NFC right now?
Tampa Bay?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. They've only played one game. They haven't played a road game yet. They have to play here next week. We know that, and we'll see how that works out. But I'm just saying, compared to the powerhouse teams we are seeing emerge in the AFC, including Kansas City. Obviously, New England.
They barely
including
got
Pittsburgh.
Philadelphia.
Oh, come on. Philly's it's not an easy out. I'm just saying that there are, I'd say right now, four or five, Oakland.
You're overreacting.
Well, maybe I am. I'm just saying after 2 weeks, I'm not saying we're in week 16. I'm just saying right now, the optics are that there are probably five or six better teams in the AFC than the NFC. Seattle can't move the ball. They're horrible offensively.
Certainly.
The Cowboys' vaunted offensive line got smashed to smithereens by Denver.
You're the one that vaunted them, not me.
Not me. Well, I'm just saying.
You're the one that buys into
we're
all
looking,
that.
The Packers look like the Packers again. When facing an elite offense, their defense can't stop anyone. Rodgers took a beating late in the game. Came back.
They're missing their two tackles. Jordy Nelson was hurt for the majority of the game.
Guess what? Welcome to the NFL. This is what happens.
The National
week if Green Bay is full strength, they can
but
score.
But no one's going to be at full strength. There isn't going to be a team at full strength.
Kitties are.
Well. For now, but you know how long that lasts. Kitties always get banged up.
Never.
Okay.
We've got a.
We'll talk tomorrow afternoon.
We have the best certified. What do they call them?
Athletic trainer.
Certified athletic.
We
trainer?
Have the best certified athletic trainer in the business.
Okay.
In all due respect to Eric Sherman.
Okay. You don't even know his name.
No. Lions are in bad shape. They have all kinds of injuries. But you know what? We fight. We persevere.
Yeah, I guess you do.
We have nine lives. Yeah. I knew the game was.
I always
love
that one.
Seriously, after the Robinson jump off sides, when everybody on the planet knows that it's going to be the hard count, they're not going to go for it on fourth and a yard and a half.
What a rookie mistake.
From the 30-yard line.
Yeah.
And he jumps off sides, and they march down and score. I kind of said, welp. Now, was I ready to say that's a great value bet and bet on Pittsburgh? Probably not. But you kind of could feel it, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And
the Steelers knew that they didn't have to do a whole heck of a lot. They took advantage of the pass interference penalties and some of the really stupid mental mistakes that the Vikings made. Like you mentioned, Robinson jumping off sides and the field goal that the fake
punt. I didn't
mind
that. Did you mind that doing that though?
Fake punt?
See, that didn't bother
me. No. I'm sorry. I meant the penalty they got for lining up the sixth guy wasn't anyone over the center on the field goal they missed.
And then they get the field goal.
Then they made, of course, that was going to happen. No, I didn't mind him trying it.
Tanner B, do you have a problem with the fake field? I don't.
I mean, you could make fun of the actual play design, but the idea
concept.
Of faking the punt, I'm all for.
Yeah, I like when teams do that, particularly when they needed something.
Well, and the defense held them to a field goal after that, so it really wasn't that damaging.
Correct.
Probably should have been a pass interference on that one, too.
Yeah.
The guy did reach around.
Yeah, yes. He did.
So,
but, I mean, overall, it was really a boring game. I mean, it was a methodical Steeler type of game because I think they knew the Vikings weren't going to do much offensively. Once they got the lead, it was, Dalvin Cook had the one splash run. I don't know how he didn't score on that play. for fantasy football owners. It sure looked like he had, but whatever. It was, other than that, and the Diggs catch, there was an...
The Rudolph catch?
Yeah.
He made a nice great...
Yeah, he made a real nice catch.
What happened to our offensive line? Is it the fact that Pittsburgh's defensive line is that much better than the Saints, or is it that our line isn't as good as it looked against the Saints? A combination of both of those?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think a little bit of everything, and then given the fact that the Vikings fell behind early. I mean, when they Keenum had to throw the ball, and again, we're talking about an inexperienced quarterback with this team, not an inexperienced quarterback. It was just bad combination of all those things. But Pittsburgh's home opener, everything. I mean, just plus, I think pretty much everybody.
You're taking a mulligan in this one, is what?
Well, I said, look at. I think from the get go, we start talking about the stuff. We start looking at their schedule. How many people had the Vikings winning this game yesterday? Even with Bradford, not many.
It transpired is what bothers me.
Well, and that's the NFL. 3 days ago, Vikings were king of the hill. Look at this team.
What I'm asking you, is it because Pittsburgh is that much better than the Saints that we, in other words, was my excitement and enthusiasm for the Vikings offensive line and the way we played,
I see what you're saying.
Is it not, was I fooling myself? Because when it comes to playing a good team like Pittsburgh, and I don't think Pittsburgh's a great team, but they're a good team. And I know they're on the road and this and that, and Bradford wasn't there, but that offensive line didn't look. I don't want to overreact, but when I look at the two games, I'm hoping what we saw against the Saints is going to be more indicative than what we saw against the Steelers.
Well, I think it's probably somewhere in between. I think you're going to have playing again a better defense. Again, the better test, I guess, will be this Sunday at home because you're back home again. But playing a Tampa defense that's certainly better, much better than the Saints defense. And the unknown about the quarterback situation, which I highly doubt we're going to get much clarification on about an hour from now when Zimmer addresses the media.
What was that all about? Is that just a complete frustration, or doesn't he really know?
I think it's both. I think it's a frustration of I don't think he really knows because he said it's nothing surgical. I'm sure that'll be reinforced today. He said two ACLs. It's put it this way. He's not undergoing surgery for meniscus or. Certainly, there was nothing that happened in the game, the Saints game.
But he's 3 years removed from those surgeries.
Well, but this stuff can happen.
Well, how did that just all of a sudden?
It could be scar tissue. I'm not a doctor.
Because he goes from not looking like he had any trouble with it last year.
Got the crap beat out of him last year.
And then the season opener, there was nothing wrong. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like he can't play.
That's the fickleness of surgically repaired knees. All right. And I think it could be. He couldn't straighten out his leg. That's the bit, and whether that's a combination of a cortisone shot, waiting for the swelling to go down. I think as much as anything, but I mean, you look at the fickleness of injuries. I mean, Miguel Sano's been out a month now with a shin injury, and not even close to coming back by all accounts. And we expect the guy to come back from whatever he's going through in a couple days or a week. No, Zimmer said 1 to 6 weeks. Well, he's fine. He's fine. He kept saying he's fine, which, he's obviously not fine.
No.
I mean, that's the point where I think the media yesterday was rightfully upset because it's like, well, he's not fine. Otherwise, he would have played.
Right.
You can play if you haven't, if you're hurt, you can, a lot of guys play through that. If you're injured, really injured, you can't play. And Bradford obviously couldn't play. Saw him on the field before the game, trying to soft toss and football around for a minute or two, and he's left.
Is it because he doesn't have a contract extension?
I don't think so.
All right.
No, it's not.
I know if I'm his agent, that's what I tell him.
But I don't.
Your knee sore?
I don't think
swelling
it's,
up. Don't go play, son.
No, because there's nothing obvious that happened in the game.
Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot more coming up.
If he gets his knee torn up. If he played yesterday and he got his knee torn up, no one would sign him to an extension.
No. Look at Brad Bridgewater's going.
It'd be tens of millions of dollars.
Well, that was the ironic part yesterday morning before the game. Was like, well, Bradford's out, but we keep hearing more positive reports about Teddy Bridgewater perhaps being ready by week six. What? I hope he proves all of us wrong. That's the case, that Teddy could come back.
Do you think the Teddy news was leaked by members of the Vikings organization to get Sam back on the field?
No. No, no.
I mean, the timing of it.
To get him back on the field yesterday?
No.
Get him on the field?
Yeah. Well,
oh, no.
To get him back as soon as possible.
Maybe they think
he's not doing everything he can to be back on the field.
I highly doubt that.
All of a sudden, they lick the old, hey,
no.
Teddy's looking really good. Come back week six. I think he's going to be ready to play.
No. No. If you watched what Bradford went through last year and how Zimmer talks about him glowingly,
I think Teddy's on to something.
Of course he is. He's conspiracy meat sauce, conspiracy-like.
Why is that a conspiracy? You don't think these guys play these kinds of games?
Management plays plenty of
careers
games.
Careers and millions
management
of dollars
plays, but to trickle that down, to have conversations with the head coach and with Eric Sugarman and with thinking that Bradford, it's preposterous.
You have a GM who will could get fired if they have a poor season.
Correct.
You have a head coach his job might be in jeopardy for a poor season. So guess what? They have a lot of skin in the game of Sam Bradford playing in all these games.
So you'd rather have
think Bradford's not doing everything to get back out on the field, of course you got to play little games like that to get in his head.
What makes you think for one second that they think that he's not doing everything he can to get back on the field?
It's just speculation. We're trying to figure this thing out.
I don't think the coach was very frustrated into the fact that he had an issue with his knee.
Maybe he's got bilateral leg weakness.
Maybe he does. Possible.
From all reports, it's not torn.
No. But if you have scar tissue...
Throw some Robitussin and get out there.
Okay. I'll remember that with Zach Parise and the Wild and a few other items that come up.
Well, they play through injuries in hockey.
Well, Parise hasn't practiced yet.
Well, they haven't played a game yet. He doesn't need to play.
Well, what about first teammates? He's got a chronic back problem.
They play through more injuries in hockey than any other sports. You don't even need to start with this one, Rosie.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Charlie Coyle played in the playoffs with, like, two separated shoulders.
This isn't a question of macho versus the macho.
Well,
it's not
the
smart. And how did he play the playoffs?
Not great.
Oh, jeez, I wonder why.
It would have been better than when the fourth line scrub you bring off the bench.
Okay.
He gave it his all.
You're making an argument against yourself.
Sam Bradford at 80% is better than Case Keenum.
Yeah. Let's have Sam Bradford go out and risk a further injury.
How do we know there's a
against
risk?
But there could have been something had he stuck in there yesterday and got blistered by that Steelers defense with an offensive line that couldn't protect him.
Do you go with Slaughter next week?
No.
Why not? He can't do any worse than Case Keenum.
Well, I don't think you go with him next week. I think there's, you know, if this is prolonged.
Throws a floater, but let's go with Slaughter. Of course, he throws a floater.
He could be the miracle man, right? This is what happens when you to a lot of teams you. Latch onto your starting quarterback goes down and you're in big trouble, and you could say that about 3/4 of the teams in the National Football League, even the ones that are competing for Super Bowls. And you hope it's not a prolonged thing. But the Vikings have 4 of the 5 next games at home, and they had better make hay here against. Because I said this even before all last week. I kept saying this Pittsburgh game isn't nearly as important. Of course, you want to win the game. As any of the games that are coming up, because you're playing conference games, you're playing divisional games. Those are the games that really matter because they count as two, especially the divisional games. I mean, really, if you play Detroit and Chicago and then Green Bay,
yeah,
those are the ones that matter, not losing at Pittsburgh in the big picture.
Subject line is playing through injuries. Rosen knows nothing about playing through injuries. He can't even sit down at the fair with Common after hip replacement surgery. What a fraud. Greens and regulation guy. Think about it. You couldn't even get your hip replaced. You couldn't even
sit. It was my knee.
Oh, knee, whatever it might be. More with Mark Rosen, Mike Zimmer at 2 on The Fan.
Hear Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer's thoughts on yesterday's game. Today at 2 on The Fan.
Brought to you by Prism Research.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should have known she would win.
The shoe polish game. Sure was.
Your memory for stuff just boggles my mind sometimes. You're talking about the 1969 World Series.
Game four. Gil Hodges came out of the
Orioles,
picked up the baseball and brought it to the umpire and said, there's shoe polish on this ball.
Yeah.
And then they warded it. They said, you're right. He was hit by the pitch. The shoe polish game. That's why a ball player should always polish his shoes.
That's right. Well, because clubhouse boys usually
you know
do that.
Me.
Yeah. Ron Swoboda and Art Shamsky were the, you know, they were.
What does it say? Does it talk about it there?
Well, you know, you're talking game four. There's talking about something that happened. The controversy had to do with somebody running.
Well, that's the out of the base. Yeah, that's the out of the baseline ones. I must be thinking, maybe mine was thinking game three. The out of the baseline one, yeah.
Hmm.
There was
game
a critical
three, Tommy Agee let off the game, the home run for the Met with the Mets. Don't see anything about the shoe polish game in that one. Oh, here we go. You just missed it by a game. It was game five.
Oh, it was the final game.
Yeah, when the Mets won 5-3.
Okay. What does it say about the shoe polish game?
Kuzman stayed in several media interviews. Gil Hodges had instructed him to rub the ball in his shoe, which he did, and after that, Hodges showed the ball to the umpire. Kuzman's claim doesn't necessarily mean that the ball didn't strike Jones on the foot, nor does it even mean that the polish on the ball may, seen by umpire was put there. It goes on and on and on. Practical jokes, but it goes, boy, this is a long explanation.
It's the shoe polish game. It's very controversial.
Okay.
It's for good reading.
Remember who hit the tying home run in seventh inning? The unheralded and light-hitting?
Walt Weiss.
Al Weiss.
Oh, I said Walt. I meant
Al. Al Weiss. How would, God, you just, wow.
How, think about it. I knew it was Al Weiss.
Yeah. Or they had the sign man at Shea Stadium. He used to hold up all those signs.
Mm-hmm. Those are the days, my friend.
He held up the sign and read, there are no words after the final out was made.
No, there really aren't.
No.
There
you go.
The Miracle Mets.
Yep.
Of 69.
1969. Followed by the Miracle Jets.
Yes. what was I going to say to you? Okay. We got a couple of calls coming in. We also have plenty of emails to get to as well. Before we get to these phone calls, or anything else about the game that the Vikings?
No, you know, I don't say you throw it in the hopper and move on, which you have to do anyway.
They
but
I think in closing, it never felt like they were in the game.
No,
as soon as Robinson jumped off and they scored a touchdown, I had a bad feeling.
I think we've all watched enough Vikings football to realize there really wasn't any extra pep in their step, even the second half, that they never felt like there was a moment. Put it this way, and I think you were talking with Tanner earlier. I don't recall the Vikings really on offense, defense, or special teams. Now, there were some good individual plays. Xavier Rhodes made a couple of really nice plays dealing with Antonio Brown. But you know, they had a couple. Everson Griffin had a nice sack or two. But there was nothing that stood out in any area of the game yesterday. Put it that way. Nothing. Missed an extra point. Defense did some, had costly mistakes. The offense did nothing to shout about. There was really nothing that happened in the game that was memorable for the Vikings. Zero.
Let's take a couple of calls, get to a couple of emails, and then during the last segment that you're with me before Mike Zimmer starts at 2, I want to talk about Gopher football and Twins baseball.
Sure.
First, this phone call from Chris. Chris, you're up on the fan. Thanks for calling. What's up, me boy?
Hey, what's going on, Tommy?
Hello. Hi.
Hi, just a couple quick pointers. I just want to first off say that I thought that Packers game last night was one of the better games I've seen yesterday.
Listen, I thought it was. Yeah, it was delicious. It really was. It was delicious.
It really, really was, for sure. And then I think I don't think our offensive line is as good as it's been touted to be. I think Sam Bradford last week made it look better than what it really was with his ability to get rid of the ball fast. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, it's all the Saints. I mean, again, they got destroyed by New England yesterday. I think we kind of recognize that that's who we're talking about. The offensive line gave him plenty of protection, though, for the Saints game. And again, it's next week. That's why it's a continuing read the next chapter. That's what it's always about. Every game takes on its own personality. And I think next week we'll have probably a much better indication. And the big if is if Bradford's able to play than what we saw maybe the Monday night game and or yesterday. I mean, I still like the idea. Here's two things. First of all, I like the idea. I think Dalvin Cook is really going to be a very, very good football player. Here's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of watching Jerick McKinnon try to run the ball out of the end zone 8 yards, 9 yards deep when he gets to the 15-yard line. Watch Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday take the ball in the backfield and run 43 yards for a touchdown, by the way, for the Oakland Raiders. In the backfield.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did. And it was a brilliant run by Cordarrelle.
Really?
But Jerick McKinnon does not have Cordero Patterson's speed. So why are you taking the ball out of the end zone? Because you return one in the preseason? Don't do that. You're getting the ball in the 15 instead of the 25.
Well, do you think he does that on his own? I mean,
I don't know. Mike Prefer's job is to tell him not to do that if you're 8-9 yards deep. Again, minor details, but I don't.
Well, here's what I'll tell you on that. I would always let my kick returner, no matter how deep it was, I'd let him take it out.
Why?
Because there's always a chance to break it. The idea of...
It's a better chance you're going to start in your 15-yard line.
So you got 10 extra yards to go.
That's a pretty big 10 yards.
If your team's not any good, if it can't make an extra 10 yards, then you shouldn't be out on the field anyways. I would always return it every time, just like I'd go for a two-pointer every time.
And Pittsburgh was going to do that yesterday after they scored their first touchdown. Until they got
dopey,
messed up.
Until dopey wide receiver was so excited about his... Celebrate! I'm telling you, the celebration, the NFL made to say that you can go ahead.
Free throws. It's kind of humorous
because the shooting dice is creative,
right?
But again, you got to shorten it, son.
Yeah,
you can't have your celebration longer than the first quarter itself because then you get penalized for delay of game. Mike Tomlin, none too happy. Of course, it didn't come down at that last point. But what if it would have?
I'm reading. Ian Rappaport, national writer. Depending on how rehab on the cartilage issue in his knee goes, the Vikings believe Sam Bradford returns next week.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's like saying, depending on how... if I can fill my tires up with air, then my car can keep going in the right direction. Well, yeah, is that... Depending how rehab... Well, yeah, I guess so. If his rehab doesn't go well, guess what? He won't play. If it goes well, he will play.
Wow. Calm bomb.
I'm reporting that the Wolves have just signed Emile Jefferson and Melo Trimble.
They got him.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going with that one.
All right, you go with that one. Melo Trimble, former Maryland.
Who?
So now we have every spot's taken now, right?
Well, yeah, I think we're pretty much done. Yeah, they got Shabazz last. Yeah, and they could end up in the developmental league. You know, they got the Triple-A team this year. So, yeah, it's all hands on deck.
Here's Slayton, Minnesota guy. Slayton, Minnesota, hometown of one Trevor Winter.
You know it, the seven-footer.
Yep, yes, the seven-footer from Slayton is what we call him.
Very good.
How's it going, me boy?
We're doing well. How are you? What's up? What brings you to the Grum?
I got a question, and I know you like to use the turning points in the game. I think a turning point for me that I saw, I want to get your and Rosie's thoughts on it, was at the very end of the first half is when Mike Zimmer decided to let the 30 seconds run off the clock and not try and drive down the field and get some points. So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised he didn't try to do something there. I know it's not a lot of time. Offense hasn't been doing much. I'm one of those guys where air it out a little bit. What's the worst thing that can happen? Incomplete pass. I don't think you're going to have
interception.
You could throw an interception, I guess. I think you tell your quarterback, if someone's open, you throw it to him. If not, throw it out of bounds. To me, the turning point still was, for me, it was when Robinson jumped off sides. Because at that point, it was a 3-and-out. Now, does that mean the Vikings would have won the game? No. But you go from stopping them on their first series, going to get a punt, to giving them the ball back, and then they drive down the field and they're up 7-0.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think there was a turning point yesterday.
I think
they got off the team bus, that was the turning point. It just felt like they were not mentally there. I think that the Bradford thing was a buzzkill for everything they wanted to try to do offensively. And what potentially was going to be, I think, probably a really good test for them on the road ended up being kind of a flat, just exercise in futility for 3 hours.
Zimmer at 2, but when we come back, we'll talk some Gophers and Twins with Mark Rosen. Next on The Fan.
Tweet at KFAN1003 with the hashtag MVP table promo, and you could win a VIP table for the football feast at Buffalo Wild Wings in Elk River this Friday, September 22nd. Must be 21 plus to enter, no purchase necessary. Details at KFAN.com, keyword contest.
Tennessee, let's do that giveaway right now. 11th caller at 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. 11th caller wins a free brewery pass to 11 of the Twin Cities' best breweries. Join the exclusive Twin Cities Beer Club and get two free pints at 11 breweries, brought to you by Edina Liquor. Get yours now at TwinCitiesBeerClub.com, 11th caller. Twins, boy, it was looking like the weekend was going to be a complete disaster.
Yes, it was.
They're playing last place Toronto.
Team that always gives them fits here.
They had lost 2 of 3. Their wild card lead had shrunk to a game.
Correct.
They're facing Toronto at home, and they fall behind 5-0. And you're thinking, they lose this, and if the Angels win, it's even Steven.
Right.
Instead, they rally back, hitting home runs again. They hit more home runs in August, I think, than any team in baseball. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's the last 6 weeks, whatever the note I saw. Verlander did the Twins a favor, being traded from Detroit to Houston. He pitches a gem. Angels lose. Twins back up to a 2-game lead in the wild card. And
well, the Angels lost to Texas yesterday.
That's what I meant was Texas.
Yeah, but he was pitching for Houston.
Oh, was he pitching for Houston?
Verlander went to Houston.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, in Texas, but that's not the Texas Rangers. Oh.
I thought I had that all.
That's okay. You had it figured out. You were doing really well until you got to the Verlander part of the story.
Okay. They go to New York with, again, they got to win them all, but they could steal the number one wild card.
Well,
they could. They could steal the number. If they sweep the Yankees,
Keep talking. I'm listening.
If they sweep the Yankees,
yes.
Who would have the...
Well, the Yankees have a 4-game lead over the Twins.
Okay,
now.
So we'd be down to one.
Yeah. Well, and the Yankees have their sights set on, we were talking during the commercial break before, they have their sights set on the Red Sox. Sure, they're not giving up on first place.
No, I know.
They're only...
But I don't think we should give up on the number one wild card.
They're not giving up on anything. They're just living day to day right now, trying to keep their head above water.
Sounds like you think that I have a sky in the pie.
Well, I think you're out
pie
there.
In the sky.
I can't recall when the Twins last took a series or swept the Yankees in New York. So I think you're asking a lot.
That was then, this is now.
Well, you're right. And grudge match tonight, I mean, facing Jaime Garcia, maybe it's a grudge match for Jaime Garcia, though he's with the Yankees, so I wouldn't be complaining too much.
It's only human nature to have a bit of an
incentive. I don't think he cares. I mean, he knew it was a business transaction.
Well, I know, but that still doesn't mean he doesn't think
this might be
kind of, I'm not saying he didn't sleep last. I'm saying it's only human nature to have a little extra added incentive, even if you're only there for one game in 1 week. I still think, I'm not saying that's going to be the difference in the game either. I'm just saying he's probably thinking to himself, this would be kind of fun.
Well, this is going to be more fun, hopefully, for Irvin Santana, who will be pitching the playoff game in New York 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Or at Fenway.
Yeah, but it could be
Fenway.
But, with 13 games to go, it's a lot that has to happen.
It could be Fenway.
It could. Yes, it could.
Thank you.
Okay, I've said it 3 times. All right. It could be. But odds are, if the Twins are going to be playing somewhere, it'll be in Yankee Stadium.
Boy, you like to get ahead of yourself.
I'm not getting ahead of myself at all. I'm just trying to tell you what the odds are. I'm giving you the Tennessee odds.
All right.
The future all bets.
Right. Okay.
Garcia tonight, CC Sabathia tomorrow night, Tanaka Wednesday afternoon at noon.
I'm not paying as close attention to the league as I once did. What does Sabathia have left?
He's 11-5. He's pitched awfully well, and
he's got to be 40 years old. Close, isn't he?
Isn't he? No, I mean he was with Cleveland for all those years.
He has to be late 30s.
With the Milwaukee,
now,
I mean, absolutely. I think he lost some weight. I think he got himself in decent shape. I haven't seen him lately. I'm not honestly.
Was there a time he was, if not
best
the
lefty
best
in the game?
He was the best lefty in the game, wasn't he?
Oh, I'd say so.
He was so good,
dominating.
He's 37 years old. 37.
Yeah, there you go. Now my guy, Joe Mauer, has been hitting 400 since August 10th.
And he hit a grand slam.
Yeah, so all you Mauer haters out there, take a deep breath, playing gold glove first base.
I don't know if people hated Mauer. I think they were just disappointed in what he represented.
Well, when I say Mauer haters, I don't mean literally hate the man, but hate, hating on the player.
And you're going to tell me you saw this coming.
Absolutely. Health-wise.
That you didn't see, for the kind of money he's making and how badly we could use his bat of MVP years, he hadn't even sniffed that.
Got healthy again.
You can understand. Well, maybe that's what it is. But you still can't blame people for saying, this is not good.
Well, of course it wasn't good. I said it over and over again. It wasn't good. But I'm saying that the idea that he was done, he was finished. You're never going to see Joe Mauer
get
a baseball again. That's what I'm saying. Where's your apology segment? That's all I'm saying. People said he'll never Never be the same Joe Mauer again.
He's now, and you're telling me you saw this coming?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
The health-wise.
Huh?
He's got a pure swing.
Yeah.
He could get up at 3 in the morning and hit a baseball like that.
It was like 3 bad years in a row. It wasn't like,
he was hurt.
Where we all got on top of
him. No, I understand that. I understand that. And a lot of it was injury related. Concussion related. And able to come back.
How do you know that's going to come back?
Yeah,
but almost curtailed his career.
How do we know that, though? That it was all just a concussion.
I got this.
All right. Okay. I just like that a ball player can use. Any ball player that's ever had a concussion can just say it has nothing to do with my abilities.
It ended Morneau's career.
Yeah, I guess it did.
Yeah, it did.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely did.
Okay.
He tried, came back.
So after seeing it happen to Morneau, we had a right to think that it wasn't that Mauer would never come back.
Yeah,
no, but it wasn't like, oh, I feel bad for Joe because he had a concussion, he had to quit catching. It was he's getting old and he can't hit the ball anymore. Well, there was a reason for it. Wade Boggs.
I always thought it was a concussion. I'm not disputing that.
But I'm saying I'm kind of in jest about half of this, but. I do think there was still a lot left in the tank. And I'm sure Joe surprised himself. And Molitor's learned how to use him.
Would you extend him next year for $23
million? No, I would not extend him for $23
million. Which sounds like you're saying.
Not at all. What we're seeing now is the two veterans in this everyday lineup, Brian Dozier and Joe Mauer, playing inspired baseball. Dozier's leading by example. So is Mauer. And the kids are picking it up. The Byron Buxton, emergence of Byron Buxton since midseason is really, I think, the number one storyline.
It's astonishing. I didn't see that.
His confidence level, see him hitting fifth in the lineup or whatever, wherever Molitor puts him in these days. 3-for-4 yesterday, the home run, the double, just his confidence level. And we know what he can do defensively and on the bases. He's turned this team around. There's a huge difference when he's in the lineup right now. Who would have thought we would have ever said that? Oh, Byron Buxton's in the lineup. We got a better chance to win today. Not because he can catch the ball flying against the center field wall, but because of everything else he can do. We're seeing now why the Twins were the number two draft pick.
You just said, who would have ever thought that or said that? Same thing we thought about Mauer.
Well, there's a difference. Mauer had already been to the mountaintop, winning 3 straight American League batting titles. Buxton hadn't proven anything in the majors yet. That's the point. Buxton, and as a draft pick, and they're all crapshoots, we get it, thinking, was this guy ever going to develop into that kind of a player? And we're obviously seeing more than a few signs that he is going to develop into that kind of a player. But it all comes down to pitching. And Santana has to be the guy. Barrios has to pitch.
Other than the concrete settling, what's the explanation for the power that this team has?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how a guy like Eddie Rosario, who I believe hit 10 home runs last year, now has 26. And
how badly do the Polats cringe at this? Because you have to pay home runs.
Oh, my God. Here we go. I can't get one conversation without you bringing up money about the Polats or somehow.
That's because they're
worried about paying Jorge Polanco or Eddie Rosario.
Imagine what that payroll will go up to when these guys come eligible if they keep hitting. Because you know what you pay big money for? Guys that can strike people out and guys that hit the long ball.
Yeah, it's a nice problem.
We're a home run hitting team. It's a nice problem, but the Twins don't like it payroll wise. You know that. We traded one of our home run hitters.
No, that's not possible right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tom Pelissero of NFL.com and NFL Network says Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford is believed to have a bone bruise. Source said they'll see how his knee responds to an injection and go from there.
I got a guy for him. Wait, I couldn't make it to the state fair that year. Never mind.
Yeah.
He gave me an injection. Didn't work out real.
Bone bruise. All right.
That makes sense. And, well, maybe Zimmer will talk. I don't think he will talk more about it because that's Monday. But everything I heard yesterday.
I just wish I knew when the bone bruise happened. It just amazes me.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
I know, but I just like to know because it didn't look like anything happened in the Saints game that happened during a practice. Yeah, I didn't think they had contact with the quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater tore up his knee for his career in a non-contact play at Winter Park.
I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just wondering how. That's all I'm asking.
He may not even known how. It may have happened after the game. It may have happened where it just flared up. He woke up the next morning, and all of a sudden, my knee is barking at me.
No, he's got a bone bruise. You have to hit your knee on something to bruise it. No. You don't get a bruise unless you bump into something. That's all I want to know is when did it happen? How did it happen? He looked great after the game last week. Looked wonderful. And all of a sudden, we hear bone bruise. Okay. I think there's more to it. I think they're not telling us something.
Of course you are.
As soon as you leave here, you know you should get to Winter Park and start investigating.
Investigating?
Yes.
Okay. I'll do that.
Let me guess. You'll just run off to your...
Edit Bay.
Not even worry about it.
We'll be listening. We're covering...
If it was the Twins afternoon game at Target Field, you'd be investigating.
If they were here this Wednesday, I wouldn't be sitting in here instead of Yankee Stadium. I'd like to be there, but I'll be there in 2 weeks.
What do you think about this Gophers Club? The football?
Well, I think they're discovering... I think P.J. Fleck is acutely aware of who they are and what they're capable of. And... said it from the beginning. I mean, you talk about running the football. That's their identity. And playing good, solid defense and not making silly mistakes or turning the ball over. Connor Rhoda is not going to be a guy that's going to throw the ball 30 times a game. If they get behind a couple touchdowns in the game, they'll be in big trouble. Honestly, they got one receiver right now who's proven that he can do things, and that's Tyler Johnson. Rhoda's not a classic quarterback in any sense of the word. He's playing within himself, and he understands what his skill set, and he's doing a fine job. I mean, they got 2 weeks to get ready for Maryland. The kickoff's been announced. It's 11 a.m. kickoff, then like a week from next Saturday.
Is there still a show tomorrow, or is there not?
No, there's no show.
Okay.
So I guess I'll be here. You have to be here at noon tomorrow.
Okay.
Am I the first to tell you that?
Yes, I did not know.
Okay, there's not a P.J. Fleck show tomorrow.
Why would there not be?
This is a bye week.
You could still talk about what happened.
We could, but we're doing that the following Tuesday. We're still there's no game between now and then, so we'll be talking about the Maryland... the preview and also a little bit of what happened last Saturday. But it was impressive enough. I mean, it's too bad Middle Tennessee played without their starting quarterback, who was, by all accounts, a really high-octane kind of guy. I think it would have been fun to see him play, coach's son. But without him, they couldn't hang with the Gophers. It was kind of a three-headed monster with the running backs. They did what they had to do. That's kind of what they are going to be until – Fleck gets his recruits in here, to be honest with you. That's exactly what's going to be happening.
And your Lynx team takes care of business. They sweep whoever it was they were playing.
Washington Mystics, yeah.
And now they're on their way to play. It would be L.A.
Revenge match. Yeah, this is what
they did. L.A. wrap it up, too? Is it official?
They won by 2 points yesterday. L.A. won by 2 points in the last second basket, I think, by Candace Parker. So it's I'm saying it's unfortunate. This is all dictated, and Cheryl Reeve talked about this. It's all dictated by ESPN and ABC. So their first game is at Williams Arena because that's where they're playing this year in the postseason. 2:30 next Sunday, right up against the end of the Vikings game. And I know it's different audiences, but just the idea that from the scope of, they're playing the championship and it's the first game and it's on a football Sunday. Then they play the second game, I think, the Tuesday night. So that's a better opportunity, not just from the media, but fans to kind of lock in on what the Lynx are doing. And it should be a great matchup. I mean, they do... they provide a lot of entertainment. They play each other. There's Olympic stars on both teams. They know each other very well, and the Lynx came within an eyelash of winning another title last year, and now they have an opportunity to do it again this year.
Which team would you say is the Cavaliers and which is the Warriors?
Wow.
Two teams.
Well, the Lynx have won more championships.
Okay.
So, it's pretty close. The Lynx are probably more...
Does either team have the dominant player? Who's the best player in the WNBA? Is it like a no-brainer?
No, it's not a no-brainer. Sylvia Fowles won the MVP this year.
But, I mean, would you compare it to
LeBron? I'd say Maya Moore. I mean, Maya Moore, when push comes to shove, Candace Parker's really, really good. I think whether you say bring it to the ticket, bring it to Maya Moore.
Right.
I think Maya Moore has got the clutch gene in her. Simone Augustus isn't bad either, but I think Maya is still the player that I want to see with the ball in her hands, tie game, whatever it is, the last seconds. She's in a position to create more offense off the dribble. Sylvia is more of inside player, the center, and she did a marvelous job this year.
We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00. Is that correct?
I will be here.
Mark Rosen, Channel 4 Sports Fame, 6 and 10 Power Trip Morning Show, Tuesday through Thursday, 8:00 hour with Tenneby and me, Monday through Thursday during the 2:00 hour. Except on Mondays when Zim does 2, then Mark's in at 1. Tuesdays he's not in at all because he's doing the Gopher Show. So a lot of changes, but he's always around here on the Common Man program on the Fan.
And now,
programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going, 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 going. Tough.
Win a $50 gift card to the Tropical Smoothie Cafe at KFAN.com. Keyword contest.
We're awaiting the arrival of one Vikings head coach, Mike Zimmer, his weekly news conference brought to you by Youngsteads. That's moments from now. He'll amble on up to the podium over there at Winter Park and talk about the debacle that was the Vikings. What was the final? 26-9? I don't even recall.
Yeah, 27-9, I think.
27-9. 27-9 loss.
No, 26 might be right.
26. Whatever the case. I had a number of people email me, tell me I was right regarding the end of the first half of the Green Bay Atlanta game. That it was an interception, not a fumble. But I'm so used to you telling me I'm wrong that I just cower now and curl up in the fetal position and say, oh, I guess you were probably right.
So when was the Rodgers gets hit?
I don't know because they had the review
as to whether it was a backward pass or not.
Because that's what I don't know, because I went to bed. At halftime, I left the game. I knew it was well in hand. I just don't like the game enough to continue to watch. So that I think I'm told that happened early in the third quarter.
Okay.
Is what I'm being told. I did mention earlier that I did break the news of the Calm Bomb, and it is official now. Minnesota Timberwolves have just released released a press release. They have signed Emile Jefferson and Melo Trimble. Again, no disrespect to Mr. Jefferson or Mr. Trimble, but they're just kind of bodies, right? Tenneby, there's nothing. Trimble played for Maryland. He was a good player.
Who?
Jefferson was a dookie. I think he was a fine player. But again, it's not like, whoa, we've really added to our stockpile of talent. They needed to fill about four or five roster spots, and they needed to fill it at rock bottom salary levels because all their money's been eaten up by their previous players. But they did.
Are either of them point guards, or are we still going with the two point guards?
I'm not. Melo's a guard. I don't know if he's a. I don't know if he can play the point. Jefferson's a forward, so maybe Trimble will play some point. I just don't know. But it is official. They neither has a ton of NBA experience, if any. I don't think they were. They're summer league guys. They were in the 2017 summer league. Trimble played for the 76ers in the summer league, I'm told. And I'm also told that Jefferson was with our summer league team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So there they are. Twins play tonight against the Yankees. We talked about that with Mark Rosen. I realize...
We'll see an old face tonight.
We will see an old face.
Jaime Garcia.
Rosen thinks that there's no extra incentive for Garcia at all. He knows it was all business. And he acted like I was thinking that Garcia's just going to, you know, couldn't sleep last night looking for revenge. It's human nature to go, it might be kind of fun to beat the team that traded me after one game.
Of course.
I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying that's going to make the difference in the game. But it's an extra incentive for him, and if you don't believe it, then you don't believe people.
And to a certain extent, they didn't want you.
Right.
Right, and we're all human, and we all want to be wanted.
So again,
and want to be liked.
My guess is he'll get drilled tonight because he hasn't pitched very well for the Yankees. He'll probably get destroyed, but that's not to say he's not pitching with little. Is he furious and thinks you doubted me? Well, here I am now. No, I don't believe that, but I think that's just I think it's part of the storyline. I really do. Don't you? I think it's part of the storyline. Wild play tonight. Is that?
Preseason game right here on the Fan.
Oh, we do carry the preseason games.
Of course.
I did not realize that. And we're playing
Wild at Winnipeg.
At Winnipeg. Hated Winnipeg. Is that rivalry really... I know we'd like it to be because it's so close. It's a border battle. Has it developed yet? Or are we still in the infancy stages of any kind of
border
hatred?
Battle!
Any type of hatred toward Winnipeg?
Ultimately, I don't think you're ever going to have a true rivalry until you meet them in the playoffs and have a 7-game series with them, which we have not, mostly because they don't get to the playoffs very often. I think they've only gotten there once since they moved to Winnipeg. But
and of course, we're perennial playoff
for contenders. Not for having not met in the playoffs, I would say it's two teams that don't like each other very much. Though I think it was more so when Mike Yeo was there. And I remember Mike Yeo getting in a fight with the Winnipeg head coach in a preseason game, I believe.
A fist fight?
Not a fist fight, no, but just words back and forth. So, but now we
have coaches ever dropped the gloves and gone on it? I'd like to see that, especially in street shoes. That'd be fun.
I'm sure it's happened.
I'd like to see that. So,
but it's mostly going to be Minnesota Wild players kind of fighting to make the roster tonight.
Okay.
Which I'm interested, especially defensively, because they have a bunch of defensemen are all kind of fighting for your fifth, sixth, seventh roster spots. So there's a lot of competition there against a lot of the Winnipeg starters. So
when you say we got some guys fighting for those last couple of spots, is it a battle where there's a lot of really good talent there, or is it just, well, got to fill it out with somebody? You see what I'm saying?
It's unproven talent.
Yeah, okay.
At the NHL level, at
right.
least. I mean, the Wild have their main four.
Right.
Quincy will make the team just because he's a veteran.
Okay.
So then it's kind of Gustav Olofsson and Mike Riley are both kind of in a situation where they've been up and down now through the minors, and this is their shot to make the roster and be in the National Hockey League for a while, so they're kind of competing against each other. And then you've got a right-hander in Murphy that was highly regarded coming out of the draft. I believe it was a first-round draft pick, if I recall that correctly, but didn't really quite work out in Carolina. So they have some talent there. But
and the Russian kid's not coming, right? That will not happen. Here's Mike Zimmer.
After looking at the tape, I thought there was a lot, some good things and some bad things, obviously. I felt like we had to do a good job in the running game and take care of Antonio Brown defensively. For the most part, I thought we did that. I think they were 23% on third downs defensively. And offensively, some of the things that happened, I think we got the running game started a little bit there, especially a little bit more in the second half. But on both sides of the balls, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with the penalties. You know, we had the, I think 23 of the 26 points came because of defensive penalties. And, we had a run on a first down run for 8 yards, had a penalty, make it first and 20, so that's an 18-yard penalty. We had a 4-yard run on first down that negated that, ended up being a 14-yard penalty. And then we had a couple communication issues with the cadence that caused us into some bad situations. So we're excited to get back to work, get back home, put this game behind us, and move on to Tampa Bay. As far as Sam Bradford, feeling better today, so we'll know as we continue to move forward. It's probably day by day, and we'll just keep going. If I could tell you more about it, I would, but at this point in time, each day is a different day, so we just got to keep going from there. Questions?
Is wearing women's underwear
Mike, what's Sam like? Do you anticipate him maybe trying to practice as the week goes on here? Do you have any idea?
No, he feels better today. I anticipate that when he's ready to practice and he's ready to play, that he will play. I don't have a crystal ball. I know you guys want to ask me about all these things, but I don't have a crystal ball. So, I'm sorry. Wish I did, I'd call some games better.
How do you think the offense handled the transition to Case, and especially when it came kind of late in the week, when a little unexpected?
Yeah, I think they felt confident in Case in the things that he was doing. And like I said, we did have some communication issues. There was a couple times we were late off the ball. But it wasn't just on him. It was, a combination of things. So we'll do good moving forward.
Did the Canes contribute to some of the pressures on Case, or what did you say?
Ben, quite honestly, a lot of it, the protection and the quarterback depth, a lot of these things all go hand in hand. He got deep a couple times, and we're not protecting it that depth, and so some of it was that. At times there was, we were late out of the snap one time, but really, for the most part, we got on the right guys.
Were you surprised how much he was pressured given how little Pittsburgh blitzed?
How little they blitzed? Like, what do you mean? Like in the game? Well, there was 10 times that they ran 20 four-man rush, cover two pressure. There were 6 times that they did, I got the whole numbers up there. It was probably 24 times. 24 times. Of some kind of zone blitz, replace blitz, Sam strong safety, cover two, drop the end and play cover three and bring the linebacker. I mean, there was a lot of that. There was a ton of that. So those are technically blitzes, blitz replaces they're called.
Do
penalties defensively? Did you see guys, I mean, getting beat and trying to make up that way, or undisciplined, or what?
It was, well, let me go back and think. There was one time that, honestly, the receiver didn't run a good route, and we were kind of in front of him the whole way, and we got called. There was one time that we grabbed a guy in the back, just a slight grab, that's a penalty. One time we got to the ball early. Trying to think what else. I mean, you know, those things. I mean, they're correctable. You know, we gotta be more disciplined with our hands. We gotta be in a better position. You know, we jumped off sides twice, allowed them, you know, we allowed drives to go on the fourth and one. We jumped off sides, which wasn't a good play. And then, you know, we jumped off sides when they threw the ball deep to 10. And then actually the receiver stopped and the DB stopped, and then the receiver took off and ran again. You know, so it's some of those things are just like...
It's amazing how a team can be so great 1 week and all of a sudden they're in the tank the next week.
Well, I don't think we're in a tank, Sid. I think we put ourselves in some bad situations, but the team fought hard. They battled their rear ends off. It was hot out there. Guys were sucking it up and going hard. We just made some mistakes. We'll correct them.
The fake punt, were you just looking to try to create a spark there for your team?
Yeah. You know, we were struggling a little bit offensively. I almost called it the series before. You know, it looked good in practice. Didn't look good in the game. But I was just trying to be aggressive. I told the team, you know, I'm going to be aggressive. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do to win. And if it's fake punts, if it's fake field goals, if it's, you know, trick plays, whatever it is, we're going to try to be aggressive. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
Allowed to be more aggressive on a guy in a route on a fake punt than they are just on a straight offense versus defensive play?
A little bit, yes. On the outside, typically more so than on the inside. You know, they did a nice job. They held the guy and held him up and covered him. So they did a good job on it.
You don't like them?
Yeah. I mean, the officials didn't beat us in this game. We didn't do enough good things to... you know, to not allow them to call penalties on us.
Protection issues changed when you had to evaluate Keenum, or what did you take away with much?
No, and you know, I know we keep saying it's protection issues, but I didn't see a lot of protection issues. There were some times when, you know, when we had, I mean, I wish I could be more specific for you, but, you know, sometimes if you got everybody out on the route, and they bring an extra guy, and the line is sliding one way, they're going to have a free runner, and the guy has to come back in and take the most dangerous guy. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, like I said, we're protecting at a certain depth, and the quarterback was too deep. Did we get beat sometimes? Yes. But it wasn't, I wouldn't necessarily call them protection issues.
Keenum's concern, though, were you pretty happy with the way he played?
You know, he had some good things and some bad things. You know, I thought he was tough and battled and fought in there. You know, a short week against a pretty exotic defensive scheme. They were very physical and fast. So I thought he battled. I'm sure he would say he could do better in some things. So, you know, but he did some good things as well.
Based on the good and the bad from Keenum, if he has to start a longer stretch here, how do you feel about him as your quarterback?
I feel good. I feel good about him. It's a good football team. We're going to continue to get better each week. You know, I like this team. I like the way they compete. I like the way they go out and prepare. Did we make some mistakes yesterday? Yeah. Okay, we got beat. It's one game. We're not gonna throw in the towel. We're gonna fight.
Through this, are you anticipate having a sign at the quarterback?
No, I don't anticipate it.
How do you think Slaughter has come along and just picking things up since you brought him in?
Well, he's behind. Yeah, I mean, but he's an athletic kid. Throws the ball good, strong arm. So, but he's catching up.
Is there a change in aggressiveness with McKinnon taking things out from his deep in the end zone is on the kick returns.
What do you mean a change? Yeah, we should not have done that. But that's not Jarek's fault. It's my fault. It's not Jarek's fault. It's my fault. I was trying to be aggressive. But we can't shoot ourselves in the foot and start at the 18-yard line when he's almost stepping on the back end line.
Positive about this game, they scored two early touchdowns. They're ahead 14-0. Then you play them in the rest of the way pretty even, despite 11 penalties.
Yeah, well, I think we let them get some field goals. But like I said, Sid, a lot of the penalties, allowed them to get 23 points on the defense. We'll be all right. We're gonna clean these things up. The guys are gonna keep playing. Like I said, I thought in some of the things that we were trying to do in the game, we did a good job.
Was there anything in that Saints game that triggered the knee issues?
No, he told me he felt it one time when on a play, but it wasn't any major deal.
Result of the surgeries, was there a hit that he took that?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think it's a result of the surgeries. I think he twisted it or something during the game. I don't think it has anything to do with the surgeries.
Time for two more.
Mike, what did you see with Trey Waynes on some of those deep passes where was he losing his assignment there? And is that something that you kind of see when you're watching it on film, start the line of scrimmage, something pre-snap?
The one play where he got the pass interference was actually he was in good shape, and when he turned, he didn't accelerate to the upfield shoulder, and that's why he was behind. He ended up getting to that ball a little early. And then on the other one, it was one where we jumped off sides, and he saw the official throw the flag. The receiver kind of stopped, and then he took off, and Trey kind of stopped, and then took off, and the guy made a catch.
Said yesterday, I think, kind of caught some people off guard. Were you just frustrated with the line of questioning, or could Bradford really miss up to 6 weeks with this? You said day to day.
No, I was being facetious. It wasn't. I don't know I don't know how long he's. I thought he had a chance to play Sunday until we worked him out after game. Sometimes after game I'm upset, and I know our fans deserve better than that, but. They didn't have any wine for me in the locker room to chill out a little bit. But where I get frustrated is I want to protect my players, okay? I'm never going to put a player out on the field that cannot take care of himself. And for that reason, no one's asked me about Teddy yet today. I assumed I was going to get one. But I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. It's just, when he's ready, he's going to play. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. But honestly, I have no idea, just like I have no idea about Teddy. I know there's reports out there he's going to be ready to play in 6 weeks. I have no idea. So sometimes I get frustrated with answering the same questions, I guess. So I apologize.
So how's Teddy doing?
I don't know. See ya.
And there you have it. An apologetic Mike Zimmer, the Zimmer Presser, brought to you by Youngsheds. We'll have our reaction to all of the press conference action on the other side of the break here on the ground.
Bradshaw and Bryant.
It's the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast. Cloudy skies and rain should continue through the next few hours here. High today around 60. Tonight, low upper 50s. And then for tomorrow, we'll have partly cloudy skies. Mercury should play tag with 77 right down the Twin Cities. Minneapolis and St. Paul, 56 degrees. Rain, 1976, Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island. On your home for the hits, FM 100.3, DaFan. I'm good. Seriously, if I don't mind saying so myself. And I don't. I'm really good. Mike Zimmer just wrapped up his news conference. A very affable Mike Zimmer. Earlier in the Grum, we had a couple of people email and think his relationship with the press, they don't like it. Because yesterday he was very immediately following the game, all coaches, after, I don't know if it's a 20-minute, half-hour cooling down period after leaving the field, meeting with the team, they always go to a Q&A with the media. And yesterday he was a bit, I don't know, what word would you describe it? Tend to be short,
yeah,
curt,
terse,
short, and curt, even though his name is Mike. He was curt with the media. And when it came to Bradford, he said, I don't know, might be 1 week, might be 6 weeks, I don't know. And you even heard the questions at the very end, why did you say 1 and 6? And he said, well, I was being facetious. I get a little annoyed. I was, he admits, he's upset after, there was... If there's not anybody associated with the Vikings or that's a fan with the Vikings that wouldn't be upset with what they saw yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, he tried to calm the masses by saying what I think we all do, and that is it's just one game. That's the last game of the season. You miss the playoffs. It's a bigger deal. They're all important, though, so you can still analyze each game. And they just were certainly two different games. What we saw opening week, they looked like a team without a weakness, right? Remember when Denny said that once long ago? We're a team, do you have any weaknesses? We don't have a weakness. That's what he said with me. We don't have a weakness. Well, all teams, even the Patriots, I'm sure, have a weakness or two somewhere.
Sure.
It might be their four-string long snapper. I don't know, but there are issues.
Their offensive line in week one was not very good.
So there are issues with every team. But he said he was sorry. And he even said my fans deserve better. Because that's what the emailer said at the very beginning of the at the beginning of the Grum when we looked at her sometime during the first hour. He said, that... The media is kind of that conduit between the team. That's how we get our information and find out things. So, but the coach, I think it was, and he did say because was part of the speculation that I offered up because I'd heard this from people that I think maybe what he was doing was he's mad because Bradford wouldn't be a gamer and go tough it out. It's always a possibility, but you heard him say, "Look, I'm not putting any of my players out there if they're injured." And that's a good thing. And I think for the most part, most coaches do believe in that. I really do. Again, if this is week 17 with a chance to make the playoffs, do you think Bradford plays? Maybe he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably be Bradford's decision. I mean, my guess is if Bradford looked at the coach and said, I can't go, the coach isn't going to say, well, you're a wimp. I don't think the coach is going to say that to him. So he doesn't know when it happened. He thinks this is what he said. It could have happened. He could have just tweaked it by turning on it wrong. That's what I think probably happened, probably during that Saints game.
Yeah.
Nothing that you crumple to the ground. We've all done it, right? Have you ever walked down the stairs and maybe slightly twist your ankle or something, and it's at first it's nothing bad. Then as time goes by, you go, that's aching a little bit. I don't know what the problem is with that. That's probably what did happen. He irritated in some way, shape, or form, couldn't go. And we'll see. Again, it sounds like it's day-to-day. The one thing he did say that I'm not sure I believe, and I'll get to that on the other side of the break, it's the Common Man program here on The Fan.
Programming on The Fan today is brought to you by True Stone Financial. Win a DVD copy of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and be entered to win the grand prize of Pirate Swag and a $100 gift card. Visit KFAN.com, keyword contest to enter.
The following or upcoming statement that I'm about to deliver probably needs a preface or a preface. And I'll do that now or a disclaimer. I'm not suggesting that the coach was lying or making it up as he goes along. But he did say when he was asked about, so how did the team feel about Case? Oh, yeah, they were confident in him. They felt really good about him or something of that nature. I expect the coach to say that. And if you would have asked any of the players after the game, and I'm sure they did, as a matter of fact, I think I saw a quote or two in one of the fish wraps regarding that. Oh, yeah. But really deep down, I'm not saying you don't have some, but I don't think, I mean, and I this is nothing against Case. I would say this about backup quarterback A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, no matter what team. You don't have, you know, like, boy, you know what? We're not going to miss a beat here. Not a problem. You go, well, there's a reason he's a backup quarterback and that he was available free agency as a backup and not a starter because you just don't have as much confidence in your backup as you do your starter. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'll use, I think, a pretty good example. When the Commandant Cole is on vacation, I fill in. If you went to ask Chad Abbott, hey, how do you feel about Tenna B having the show for 3 hours? He can't come out and just be honest and go, God, I really hate it.
It's Lieutenant Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
right.
But we have, you know, but we're stuck with him. Well, what else are we going to do?
Right.
Right?
Well, that's a very good example because that's exactly what he said to me off the record. So, but you're right.
You're Bradford and I'm Case Keenum.
I hope I'm a little better than Bradford. I hope you're not.
I thought you really liked Bradford. And I thought that was a good comparison.
And I hope you're not as bad as Keenum.
You would consider going out and get a Colin Kaepernick to fill in when you can?
Well, that's now again becoming, I saw that the esteemed columnist, Fish Wrap Factory, West Side, Jim Suhan went with that today, basically. Well, they got nobody to blame. Well,
pressure went with that like 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. And there are how many other general managers that could be accused of the same thing? And I guess he sort of maybe said that in there as well. Of course, I don't hear a lot of the ball guys asking why Favre and Levine didn't go out and fortify this team a little bit. I've heard nothing negative about that.
Yeah.
Nothing. I've not heard one ball guy in town say, boy, it would have been nice if the team went out and got an extra hitter or maybe went out and got an extra arm. I mean, they went and got Cologne. I get that. But that's not getting an arm. That's not going and getting Verlander is going and getting an arm.
Yes.
That's a real move. Not picking up somebody from the scrap heap. The big sexy, he's been cute, he's served a purpose, he's been okay, but that's not a move. And the Angels went out and got Upton, if you saw over the weekend. Now, we may end up beating the Angels. We may end up going and winning the World Series without acquiring any other players, and I'll leave town, and I'll eat crow and everything else, and I'll eat the crow with the egg that I scrape off my face. But, you know, it's funny how some guys will, and I don't know, maybe Suhan and others have criticized the team for not going out and trying to bolster this team's chances. We kind of did when we went out and got the Garcia and we traded him after one start. And we traded Kinsler. That's a sign of an organization, the front office, thinking we don't have a chance. And now here they are looking, whoops, I guess we're still in this thing.
Let's say they got Verlander, which I know never happens in this town, at least for our baseball team. Let's say they get Verlander. You have an offense right now that is the best in the American League, and I think since the All-Star break, is second best in Major League Baseball, offensively in terms of runs scored. Defensively, they're pretty good, especially in the outfield. They're elite. So you're really, now all of a sudden, if you throw Verlander in there, if you trade for Verlander, give up some prospects, might have to give up Gordon.
Yep.
You go Verlander game one of a series. Irvin Santana, game two of a series. Barrios, game three. I'll take my chances against.
I would really take my chances. We might be the favorite in the American League. Getting a little bit away.
But I wouldn't be, you know, absolutely terrified of Cleveland in the series all of a sudden. If those are my three starters.
Angels added a bat. They added Upton. He had two solo home runs Saturday to win a game 2-0. That move single-handedly won a game for them. Now, they still trail us by two. They've got to play Cleveland starting tomorrow. They're off tonight. They play Cleveland.
Maybe Cleveland, then Houston.
Yeah, so that's, again, when you look at the way the schedule's a shakeout, we're certainly at the advantage. But, of course, it's like I said last week, you know, well, we have got Toronto. That should be easy. Well, we split with Toronto, right? We split with Toronto. We went 2-3.
Yeah, 2-4, yeah.
So we're 2-4. And
we get the bookends.
And we could have lost yesterday. Now, we didn't, but I'm saying that's why there's no – just because you're playing a last-place team, especially baseball is so weird.
It just is. You win 50, you lose 50. What do you do with the others? You know,
well, and you're talking about two teams that have been kind of around 500 all year, too, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not like the Twins are world beaters.
So they can lose to teams worse than them because they're a 500, you know. Yes. I know they're more than 500, but.
Correct. But
a 500-ish
I get your point. So now this emailer says, I think he's probably right. Here's an email that says,
Tom, if you ask almost any Bears fan, they would prefer, or player, they would prefer to have more confidence in the backup quarterback. Probably would. Glennon was awful yesterday. And they liked, is it Trubisky?
Yeah.
Is that the young guy? Yeah, but that's apples and oranges. But you're right. I mean, that is a place where you might go, well, I feel a lot more confident with our backup quarterback. But again, I don't know how confident the team really is with Keenum. But if that's who you have to play, that's who you have to play. Tampa Bay, you tell me. I'm not paying as close attention to the league as I once did. They had a forced bye the first week, right? Because
yes.
of the weather. They won yesterday in impressive fashion. Is that correct?
They beat Chicago 29-7?
Okay, so 29-7. Am I led to believe, though, that Tampa Bay is a better team than they've been the past few years?
Yes. I mean, the second half of last season, I think they were 6-2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they were kind of coming along. They obviously have a young quarterback in Jameis Winston that I think many project to be a star.
Right.
They've got a wide receiver who already is a star.
Okay.
So for them, I think it's been as long as they can hold up defensively, which it's hard to get a read off of playing Chicago at home how good you are defensively, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of defenses could have done that. So I guess we'll see more. Specifically, if Bradford's playing, it'll be a little bit more tougher test for Tampa Bay, I think.
So if Keenum's our quarterback next week, we still like our odds at home against Tampa rather than on the road at Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much more.
Okay. Well, then we'll wait to see what happens. What did you make of the running back, the young kid?
Dalvin?
He had the one really good run where we thought he scored a touchdown.
Yep.
And he whether he did or not is a mute point. Ham got the touchdown right after that. He got most of his yards in the second half right after the game was kind of out of hand. But and did he drop a pass?
He had another
again?
Drop.
I thought he was supposed to be really a great pass catcher. He doesn't look any better than Peterson right now. Early, only 2 years into his career, but that kind of surprises me because I thought
a drop each game.
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to be the sure-handed pass, a sure-handed precise route running back out of the
He back. Does block better. I can tell
yes.
that already. He is a much better blocker than Adrian was.
You would be a better blocker than Adrian would be in the backfield. You'd be a better option on third and long.
He said nowhere to be.
To hold somebody out.
Adrian had another pretty mediocre game yesterday.
Did he? Did he sign up for that? Or I didn't sign up.
It was one of those like 8-9 carries for 26 yards type of game. Mm. But it's the second game in a row where they were trailing. And, you know, they're a pass-first team to begin with. And then
right.
once you're trailing by that much, you just pretty much have to turn over to the passing game.
Are we to believe New England's back?
I never thought they were gone. I believed in them from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady. It's Gronk. So they had a bunch of injuries. Gronk, I think, got hurt yesterday. Julian Edelman already out. I think one of the receivers also got hurt in the game yesterday. It might have been Hogan.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Brady could have me out there, and he'd move the ball up and down the field.
What do you... I'm just going to ask you a question. It's a yes or a no.
Okay.
Do you think the roar has been restored? Yes or no?
What's your definition of a restored?
What are we on pace to go right now?
16-0.
Can you argue with the math?
No.
You're 1-0 after 1 week. Extrapolate that out mathematically.
16-0.
You're on pace to go 16-0.
Now, I know this is kind of a rosin of me to make a prediction and flip-flop both sides for tonight's game.
Right.
If Odell Beckham Jr. plays tonight, I think the Giants will beat your kiddies.
Okay.
If Odell Beckham Jr. does not play tonight, I think your Lions can win in New York. Because after seeing that Giants offense last week without OBJ.
Here's what I'll tell you. If Odell Beckham Jr. plays tonight, he'll be the second best wide receiver on the field. Have you seen the Galladay kid?
Galladay!
If you could find Jim Nabors as Gomer Pyle saying, golly.
Golly.
Yeah. And then we can somehow end day.
What's his name? Jim Nabors?
Jim Nabors. Nabors. He played Gomer Pyle, USMC. He got his start on television, or at least his first big role. He played, he was Goober, a gas station attendant
I'm sorry, he was Gomer. Goober was played by, Goober was Gomer's cousin. Gomer was a gas station attendant on the Andy Griffith Show. He got added after a few years. Then he went on, and it was a spinoff. He got his own sitcom called Gomer Pyle, United States Marine Corps. Do you have it?
Well, it's kind of a montage of him doing a bunch of different sayings, like Shazam.
Oh, Shazam's another one of his.
But either way, you'll get the point. Well, it's kind of funny. So it's a bunch of clips put together. Yeah.
A rare comedic talent. Think about it. He was a rare comedic talent. He was also, believe it or not, he could sing like opera. His singing voice was just absolutely considered astonishing. But then he became just dopey character on a couple of TV shows.
He plays it brilliantly just watching the video.
Yeah, those were his two catchphrases was Shazam and golly. And the Galladay kid, I don't know if he's for real, Tennessee, but they raved about him during training camp. And again, that's only training camp and preseason. But he was very good. He had two great catches against the Cards, one completely outstretched. And the Lions need somebody now the Megatron's gone. Though I've said this before, and I don't know if you... I think Golden Tate's one of the most underrated players in the National Football League. I watch him every week. He makes so many catches for the Lions. He keeps so many drives alive. He's not afraid to go across the middle. Yak, yards after the catch, for those that aren't as NFL savvy as you and I, he's very good at it. Without him, this team would be in all sorts of trouble.
You know why he's underrated?
Why is that?
Because we're in a fantasy football world, and he's not a big red zone guy.
Oh.
Right? I mean, he doesn't get a lot of touchdowns.
Okay,
you know, he's one of those where, you know, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns a year is kind of...
Okay.
You know, because he's not the guy that, when you're at the 5-yard line, you're going to throw the fade pass to, and he's going to jump up and get it.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't get those, so then he's not as valuable from a fantasy football standpoint.
Yeah, well, that probably explains it, because I'll tell you what, if I've got 3rd and 6, 8, 10 yards, there's not many other guys I want out in the route to throw the ball to. He is really good. He's been so now they got
I'm excited to see Galladay tonight.
They got Galladay and they got Tate, and Stafford's playing as good.
Marvin Jones is all right.
Yeah, and they're playing as good as Stafford's playing as good as any quarterback. I'm not saying he's the best, and I get it. I'm the same guy that for the first 3, 4 years of his career, I'm not very patient. All I could see was Joey Harrington. Because I've heard it in Detroit before. Being a Lions fan, every time we drafted a quarterback, this was going to be the guy. This was going to be the guy. We've heard it here, right? This is going to be the guy. That's going to be the guy. This is the guy. He's got it all. And you're going to struggle, I guess, because it's the second toughest position in football. It's not the first. Cornerback is. That's what I was told yesterday, Fish Rep Factory. West side of the river, several quotes from Tony Dungy included, and a couple of other defensive backs that say defensive back, or cornerback to be exact, is the toughest position in sports. But I'm a big fan of Stafford now. I don't know if we can keep the other positions healthy. Our running game, the Abdullah guy's good, but he's been a disappointment so far, because he was supposed to completely change it, but you know, he gets yards. I wish we had another option, but we don't. So he's all right.
You're not a Theo Riddick guy?
He has his moments too, but it's all going to depend. They go as far as Stafford's arm takes him, like a lot of other clubs. But here we go. Breaking news.
I know you really love Minnesota Wild preseason
news.
Breaking news. But Michael Russo of The Athletic. Mm-hmm. Just tweeted, sounds like the two sides are trying to carve out a 2-year extension, which would lock up Mikko Koivu up to 2020. So this would be the last year of his current contract, going to be a free agent after the season. Sounds like they probably close to a 2-year extension. We'll see what the dollar value is that goes with it.
Before the regular season starts, could you do one favor for me? Could you have Dave Allen do a Russo bomb? Because I think we're going to get a lot of those.
I always love
we have to one. Add to our collection. We have Calm Bomb and Woj Bomb. Do we have any others, or are those the only two?
I think that's
it. We need to start adding to those.
Do you want a Roost Bomb or